improvised testimony, prayer request. There's going to be a little bit of everything in there. So Chris's family is in great need of prayers. One of his cousin, age 40, living in Vegas, he's on his second bout of colorectal cancer. Had a first bout 5 years ago, went into remission, but about, 6 months ago, came back to both his lungs. He's been on chemotherapy for that long. The problem is we're getting to the point where if he stops the chemotherapy, the cancer grows. The chemo is keeping the cancer under control, but if he stops it, then it just rages out. But we're also getting to the point where the chemotherapy is so toxic to his body that it's shutting down his liver and kidneys. So we're getting to a roadblock. He's arguably followed by the best oncologist in Vegas, which is great news. But that doctor also said this week that without treatment, he has a mere 6 months ahead of him. Man is 40, he has a wife, he has a little girl. We're all desperate. So he'll be going to Arizona next week to the Cancer Centers of America to try to get a second opinion. So we've been praying that the second opinion will be more positive than the first one. In any event, Vinny is saved, and he says that he's ready for whatever outcome. Chris's mom has been starting some very bizarre jaw pains this week that we're very concerned with, so we've been praying about that as well. And then a few weeks ago, I myself started having some health issues, some very ungodly cramps, I would call them, which we started investigating. And so in the process, we did find an ovarian cyst. But what we didn't know at the time of initial diagnosis is that the cyst was probably caused by a pregnancy. So Chris and I are expecting our first child. So the perspective of giving birth and becoming a mother while I'm still grieving mine is very much intimidating, but the feelings of joy and excitement have been greater than the feelings of grief and terror. So from that perspective, we're blessed.
It only took 7 years. So
but for the testimony part, yesterday I ended up sharing the news with a really good friend of mine who's been desiring to become a mother for years and hasn't been able to. And when that song came up, the mountains that I face and the waters that I need to cross that you won't part, like her and I were having that conversation yesterday, and my usual rabbit squirrel self just like, what about this and what about that and have you tried this, and she was trying to explain me that she feels that God's will for them was to stand still and have faith. And so sometimes a leap of faith is jumping from a cliff, and that's very much the way I felt when I had to climb in a plane to marry that guy. But other times, a leap of faith is to know to stand still and trust in Jesus. And I think those are probably the hardest leaps to take. Moving is easy. Standing still in faith and trust, I look at it as very difficult. So I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for that friend because she's teaching me a lot. Thank you, guys.
Yes, that is awesome. When I mentioned, when I mentioned testimonies, both her hands shot straight in the air. I think somebody's excited. Hallelujah. Anyone else want to share something awesome God's doing? Oh, sure, Kylie. Oh, boy, there's a lot of excitement in the room.
So I don't remember if I told everybody a couple weeks ago or so. I had one of my co-workers, a 19-year-old boy, he was in a car accident and he died. And so my work, they have a little memorial set out front for him. But one of my other co-workers who had many, many months ago reached out to me and said, you know, her mom's side of the family was all Christian, and her mom told her, you just need to have faith. Her dad was an atheist and said she needed to have proof. She was very confused, and so she kind of wanted to talk to me about it. And we set up a date. She canceled on me, and we never figured out anything after that. But because of Seth passing away, that was my coworker's name, she was not kind of, she was very shaken, realizing that life is very fragile, and she didn't know where she would go if she were to die. So she reached out to me again, and she just texted me and said, hey, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, sure, what's up? She said, can you talk to me about Jesus in the Bible? I'm like, yes. So I got to meet with her this past Tuesday, and we had dinner together after our shift at work. I am so excited. She didn't accept Christ right then and there, but we got to talk about Jesus. She had never read her Bible fully, so we talked about how the Bible is set up. We talked about who Jesus was and what he did, that he died and he took our sin with him. He rose again, and he's back in heaven, and he's going to come back. It was interesting because she had some experiences. She believed in Satan more than she believed in God, because she had been experiencing things with creepy, non-explainable, scary things happening. And so that kind of helped our conversation, because it's like, God has to exist if Satan exists. But she says it's been happening more frequently since she's been asking questions. So I told her, I bet I know why. but I was able to share with her. She said she really wants to believe. She didn't really know where to begin, so I told her to read and told her, start in the Gospel of John, read all the letters first, go back and read the other Gospels, and when you're pretty comfortable with what the New Testament says, because that's going to tell you all about Jesus, it's going to tell you about what a Christian looks like and what it is that Jesus did and who God is. You're going to learn all of that in the New Testament. Then you can go look at the Old Testament. It's pretty intense and a little scary if you go to the Old Testament without understanding it. So, and then I told her to pray and to do what she had just did, which was to find somebody who she knows God and ask them her questions. So I'm praising God. I was really excited. That was the first time I got to share my testimony and what God has done for me and about Jesus. And it was so fun. But please pray for Erica. I invited her to come to church. I don't know if she'll even show up or anything, but I really want her to find God. So, yep, that's it. Oh, yeah, that's another testimony that's really exciting. So, yeah, it is the most exciting. So my brother, Garrett, over here, he just graduated from his AIT in Arizona. And we went to go get him. And so I was getting ready to finish my classes. And, of course, the week that we are gone on the road is when all of my finals are due. Yeah, I wasn't. But actually, I was able to finish my final paper while we were on the road, which was fantastic in and of itself. And I got back home and found a grade on that final paper. I have never gotten this grade on any finals at all, ever. 100. 100. Which put me at a 100, like, total for the whole class, which means I finished, like, perfect for that entire class. Like, And then I was also able to take my final exam, which this is another interesting story. On the drive out there, I was supposed to have my textbook with me so I could study for the other final exam. And I looked in my bag while we were in Ohio, and it wasn't there. So I kind of just, like, studied online and looked up stuff as best I could. And as soon as I got home, I mean, I'm taking my final exam. It's already a day late, but it's the day after we get back from our trip. So I stayed up a little late, and I studied a little bit. And it was beautiful because I was supposed to take it at 10 in the morning, the next morning. But because of complications with my school, not opening the exam for me because it was a day late, I was given like 7 extra hours to study. And it was amazing because everything I studied was everything I needed to know for the exam. I don't know my grade yet, but I think I did pretty well. And that means those classes are done, and I have one class left to finish my bachelor's. Okay, so that's me.
I think you have a testimony, Karina. Come on up here. She's like, oh man, really? You thought you were going to get out of it, didn't you?
Talking in front of people. So on our trip, we were, I don't remember what state we were in at that point. It doesn't matter. We were on our way to Garrett. We hadn't gotten him yet. And we had, a couple people were praying for safe travels for us, which, I mean, that's normal. And but their answers, their prayers were answered this time, like obviously answered. We witnessed it. So we were driving, and up ahead, we on the road, we saw dust. And within seconds, we were on the scene, and a big semi-truck, UPS semi-truck, two trailers, had driven off of this opposite side into the centerpiece, and one of his trailers were into our lane. We had just been a couple seconds ahead of our time, we would have been involved in it. So we were protected, and I just think that was pretty cool, so I had to share.
And timing is everything. Hey, buddy. Oh, you're going to scare me. Real quick. This is a leap of faith here.
I like pizza.
You like pizza? So do I. All right. Look out. Boy, you never know. Sarah, you want me to bring this to you? You like pizza too?
What?
Yeah.
I have to. I have a granddaughter who loves it. When was that? Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. I had been working with a client. She's married, and I have several children, but she was not happy with this last pregnancy. She was very angry with God to think that she got pregnant because they tried so hard not, and she just was a basket case. And I had been working with her for several months, and there was just no change. She was just depressed. Did not like being pregnant, was very upset. Her mom was gone. Her mom leaves every winter and then comes back in the spring. And she thought, well, when my mom gets back, we'll do things together and I'll feel better. Well, mom came back. She spent one day with her and has not spent another day with her since. So that made her even worse, you know. But I think God was trying to show her, you need to rely on me. You know, not mom, not anyone else, but me. But she really had trouble with the whole trust issue. And one day when she came in for counseling, she came in the room and she sat down in the chair. I said, wow, you just sat right down in that chair, didn't you? She goes, yeah. And I go, well, you trust that chair to hold you up, didn't you? She goes, yeah. I said, then why can't you trust God? I said, he's got it. He does. She just was so worried about going through pain of labor and having the baby. She had it in her head she was going to die. I don't know why, but that's just the way she was feeling. Well, I got a call from her Thursday. She had the baby July 19th, and she was so far along in labor that they had to take her by ambulance to the hospital. She had the baby within an hour. I said to her, is God not good? And she goes, yep. I said, I told you. So we are just so thankful that this little baby was born and that she got to see that God is in control, you know.
I prayed with Pastor Dale that I would get to see my mom, and I got to see my mom.
Yes, she did. Amen. Oh, more. Look out. It's getting crazy. I might have to hold my message till next week. Good to see you, brother.
It's good to see you, too. The first thing, I guess, is I have a good friend who lives in North Carolina named Lisa Rowe, and her mom is suffering from cancer right now, and it went into sort of a remission, but it hit her pretty hard. So if we could send some prayers for her. And then my testimony is about Lisa Rowe. My testimony is that about 2 weeks ago, I was dealing with some jealousy, envious, hatred type feelings, things that go contradictory to Corinthians 13. And a friend of mine brought up what love is and how love is not jealous and envious and hatred. And I started to realize over the last 2 weeks, instead of when I had those feelings inside me, to not dwell on them. And I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord took that feeling of dwelling on them away. Now I still feel a little jealous, a little hate, a little anger, a little whatever it may be that I'm going through that day or within, but I don't dwell on those things no more, thanks to the Lord. So thank you, God.
Amen. haven't heard that yet. Yeah, you already spoke. Yeah, he wants to speak again. Yeah, he'll get his chance. Oh, he likes ice cream. Yeah. All right. Children, do you want to go downstairs? You ready? Yeah. Yeah, you do. They got fun stuff down there. They're going to tell you about Jesus. They're going to tell you, I don't know what they're going to tell you, but I'll bet it's going to be good. Oh, what a crew. God's got a plan. Doug's got a plan. Oh, Doug Jr. He's down there setting it up. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's a lot of praising Jesus going on around here. Amen. Before we go any farther, I want to pray for these that were mentioned with cancer and issues. Father, we lift them up to you. Lord, I pray that that mountain will move and that sea will part, that we could walk across. Our trust is in you, Lord God, and we lift these up to you. These that have been mentioned here this morning, but also others struggling with cancer. Father, I pray for this nation that you give us a cure for that. Lord, that you would just cause cancer to be a non-issue in this nation any longer. But God, for those who are suffering with it today, this day, I pray that they would feel your presence in their life, their healing, your healing touch in their bodies. And God, you would raise them up to perfect health. Bless them by the power and the blood of the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Two thanks from the church. Well, one is a thanks for something that has already been done, and the other is a thanks for something that is yet in the future. God has been blessing us, and I'm so just thrilled. It's amazing what God will do. And we were raising money to seal our parking lot. I had it done a few years ago. We knew that it was going to need it again. And this year was the year it needed it again. And so we started raising money. And and I want to thank all of those who gave some money to put towards that. But last week, somebody approached me and said, it's going to be done Monday or Tuesday. And I said, oh, really? And they said, yeah, we're going to take care of it. And I said, well, we have some money raised towards that. And they said, no, use that for something else. We've got this. Awesome. And so all who gave, I hope you trust us with it. We will still use it. The building still needs stuff. So we'll use that for building and maintenance for the property. But I just want to thank God for sealing our parking lot. Isn't that awesome? Someone else approached me. Someone who considers us their church. We are their church. We don't see them weekly. Pulled me aside and said, I want to put on a chicken barbecue for you. I'm like, oh, really? And they said, yep. I'll bring the cooker. I'll bring the chicken. I'll cook it. I'll take care of all of that. All you need to do is whatever sides you want. And I said, okay, well, how much is the sick chicken going to cost? And he's like, not a thing. I've got it. I'll cover it. And it's like, that's the major cost of a chicken barbecue is the chicken. And the labor to do it. And all of that is donated. God is going to just provide that. And so perhaps toward the end of August or maybe September, we'll get on that. And the ladies, I know there were some ladies that have been asking me, are we going to do another chicken barbecue? Well, apparently, yes, we are. And so we'll let God work out the details and the sides and all of that. But just what a couple of, you know, just what a blessing to see that, you know what, God is putting things in people's hearts and minds to invest in what he's doing here. You know, it's one thing when we come and we work and we strive and we try to, you know, build the church and do this and that. But when you see God just doing it, it's such a blessing to know that we invest all this, you know, to all our, you know, our time and our efforts to try to be something that's glorifying to God, but yet he invests in us and pours himself in us and just makes it something awesome and better than it was before. And I'm just so grateful for that and blessed by that. I don't know if we had any announcements. Ladies, are you meeting Monday night where? Mr. Twisty's on Monday night, ladies, at 7 o'clock. You're going to share some ice cream and the book Circle Maker. And Wednesdays, we have prayer here at 10 o'clock every Wednesday morning. And we also have Celebrate Recovery. Oh, thank you, brother. Wednesday evenings. And so that's all I have off the top of my head right now. As more comes, we'll let you know. It's very interesting, Kylie's testimony, and I don't have a lot of time. Unless I just take a lot of time and make you all sit. But I was feeling impressed to share this again today. I happen to see this. I keep this on my thing here, my pulpit here. It's just a bookmark, and I've got another copy here. I used to have some in the back. I may have to make some more. But, you know, just a simple gospel message. A bookmark. You can hand to somebody and say, you know what? You want to know how to get saved? Here it is. You want to know what Jesus is about? Here it is. It's very simple. It just says we're all sinners. Romans 3:23, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says we receive eternal life as a free gift. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God demonstrated his love for us. And in Romans 5:8 it says, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we must put our faith and trust in Jesus and surrender to him as Lord of our lives. Romans 10:9 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And verse 10 says, from with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, resulting in salvation. And we have an assurance of salvation because Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your friend is seeking Jesus. What's the Bible say? If you seek, you will find. I trust that day will come when she will call on his name. And then there's a prayer there. And then John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for your blood that was shed for me. Lord, I pray that every person in this place today, if any have yet to call upon your name, that today would be the name that they would call out to you, Jesus, to save their soul. Forgive us of our sin and give us this eternal life. The promise of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We've been going over this for the last 3 weeks now, 3 or 4 weeks. I'm going to go through this kind of quickly. I think it's doable. According to the clock, I have about 12 minutes to preach this message, but according to whatever the Spirit of God wants to do, that's how long we have. And so I hope nobody's got anything in the oven that's got to come out at like 12:10 because you might be a little late. Somebody does?
She said, oh, I wish I did.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I was talking with somebody this week about the fruits of the Spirit, and then we were talking about some other things. And as our brother mentioned, you know, in his heart, you know, in his testimony, he struggled with hatred and jealousy and anger and those kinds of things. And this person I was talking to, we kind of got off on this little tangent about forbidden fruit of the Spirit. You know, we talk about fruit of the Spirit, and I don't know, maybe, I'm not sure yet. Maybe next week I'll talk about forbidden fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness and goodness and all those things. Well, but there are some forbidden fruit. Remember, why did Adam and Eve get in trouble, right? They ate some forbidden fruit. Isn't that kind of the phrase we go with? Well, we, as we're walking in the Spirit, we need to be careful not to be partaking of forbidden fruit of the Spirit. Hatred, strife, division, jealousies, anger, all kinds of things. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about that another time. But today I want to focus on one word. We've already talked about kindness and goodness and self-control. But today I want to turn my clicker on so that I can do the slides. Today I want to talk about meekness, or your Bible may say gentleness. They both are kind of the same word. Well, they basically mean the same thing. And I'm going to show you some definitions here. The Bible uses the word meek and the word meekness. Now, in the Old Testament, it means something different than it does in the New Testament. And so I want to focus really on what it says in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was more somebody who was meek, was poor, was in poverty, was very low in state. But in the New Testament, the word means, the word meek means mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit. And the word meekness, as in our verse, is in the fruit of the Spirit, which some of your Bibles, many of them, most translations actually say gentleness. It's the King James that said, and just a few others that say meekness. The definition of that word is gentleness, mildness, and meekness. And so it's very interesting if you study the Bible and you study the word meek, how it changed from the time Jesus came and rose again. How the word meek, you know, the definition changed. You know, before Jesus, the world was a totally different place. Do you understand that? The spirit realm was a totally, you know, different atmosphere, where people were trying to, they were trying to do works in order to be saved, and they were, you know, they didn't understand all there was to serving God with the heart. In fact, they were rebuked about it a few times. Jesus said, you know, in the Gospels you'll read where, and even in the Old Testament, God said, you know, you really think that's the sacrifice that I really want, where you're sacrificing bulls and lambs and the blood and all of that? Do you think that's really what I want? And what he's saying, what I really want is your heart. And after Jesus came, everything changed. And the word meek changed. And so the word gentleness there, most of your Bibles say gentleness. So I pulled up a definition of gentleness, and I want to talk about this a little bit. A definition for gentleness is the quality of being considerate or kindly in disposition, amiable and tender, mild and soft, refined and polite. How many know the world needs the Christians to demonstrate gentleness? To demonstrate meekness. I found another definition for the word meekness online. You know, the Bible is a... You want to study your Bible? The internet is an awesome source for Bible study. How many know the internet is also an awesome source for all kinds of evil, right? Be careful what you do online. But let me encourage you, if you are going to spend your time online, use it for God's glory. I put a post online the other day that mentioned the idea, because of all the political stuff that's going on, and it's getting heated and ratcheted, and it will all the way to the election and probably after the election. And we all know we're in a presidential election. We all see what's going on in our streets. You know, we see what's going on with people, and we see what's going on with, you know, police officers. We see what's going on all around. And all of this distraction and all of this strife and all of this stuff, it brings conversation. It opens up conversation. And I was reminded of what Paul said. I knew nothing. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so I put a post online and said, you know what, in the midst of all this political nonsense, because I have opinions, and you have opinions, and we might not agree. But you know what, if I'm going to talk about a king or who I want to be my king, you know who that's going to be? I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ. And whoever gets elected, you know what, yeah, be informed, know what's going on, pay attention. But when it comes to your conversation with other people, let it be about Jesus Christ. But you know what? In that conversation, again, we need to be those who demonstrate gentleness. Now, online, I found this definition for meekness: an attitude of humble, submissive, and expectant trust in God, and a loving, patient, and gentle attitude toward. toward others. I love this definition partly because in it is the two great commandments that Jesus said. Love God and love your neighbor. We even use this particular definition somewhat in our Celebrate Recovery program. The attitude of humble, submissive, and expectant trust in God. The third step in the Celebrate Recovery program is consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. And the verse they use there is Matthew 5:5, which says, happy or blessed are the meek. Happy or blessed, happy and blessed are the meek. Those who have an attitude of humble, submissive, and expectant trust in God. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus was confronted, do you remember him, you know, yelling and screaming and taking on, you know, arguing and all? You know, I believe Jesus was a gentle person. In fact, the only time that he got angry was when, you know, when he was at the church and they were trying to rip off the people that were coming, and they made it a den of thieves, he called it. And he turned over some tables and you know, the money changers and all that stuff. And it's right that he got angry in that situation, because what's the Bible say? The love of money is what? It's the root of all evil. Well, if Jesus is going to get angry about something, I'm pretty sure he would be angry about the root of all evil. The only reason those people were out there selling that stuff was because they had a love for money and not a love for God. But consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. If I am being controlled by Christ, when I deal with people, I need to be mild. I need to be the other part of that definition, loving, patient, and gentle toward others. A loving attitude toward others is not harsh, it's not hating, and it's not severe. Think about that for a moment. We all have coworkers. We all have people that we deal with on a regular basis. We all have those people that we struggle with. Last week we talked about kindness, being kind to everyone. Today we're talking about being gentle, not harsh. Having a patient attitude toward others. Not quick to condemn, and not real pushy and not overbearing, but patient with others. How many know that not everybody gets it the first time, right? I'm getting excited. I gotta calm down. I gotta demonstrate some meekness. But because we've been walking with the Lord, some of us for many years, we know what we know. We know what people should know. And you know what? We want them to know what we know, and we want them to be just like us. Don't we? Many times. Well, it took me 30 years to get to where I'm at today or more. And so I can't walk up to somebody that doesn't even know Jesus and expect them to be just like me. And chances are, if they were just like me, there'd be something really wrong with that. There are times when I shouldn't be like me. But you know, I need to demonstrate some patience. I can't be, I've seen people, I've ministered with people that will take the Bible and just beat people over the head with it. Well, the Bible says this, and the Bible says that, and here, eat this, and cram it down their throats. And it's like, just, let's not be pushy. Let's not, you know, be condemning. Let's not be overbearing. How many like to be in a place where somebody, you know, the person you're dealing with is just a pleasant, nice person? Patient. Gentle attitude toward others. Not attacking, not threatening, not severe. I've seen brothers go after, you know, trying to witness to somebody, and it's like they're attacking them. It's like, just, would you back off a little bit. Take a breath. Jesus knows who they are. He knows what they need. He doesn't need you to get them by the neck and get them saved right now. Isn't that how we are sometimes? You know what? When we deal with other people, they need to know that Christians are not a threat. You know, it amazes me. I still see stuff online where people are like, well, you know, these ISIS people, they're no different than the Christians. Oh, really? I haven't seen any Christians out there murdering people. I haven't seen it. Well, unless, maybe I have, because I have seen some Christians that hate some people. And I guess in Jesus' eyes, it's the same thing. But you know what? We need to be a people of love, a people like Christ, a people that have loving, patient, gentle attitudes towards others, where we are not a threat to you. Whether you agree with us or not, we are not a threat to you. Why is it that they keep changing the label. It used to be gays, and then it changed to homosexuals, and then it changed to transgenders, and now they've got an LGBT, half the alphabet, I don't know. But why is it that they feel threatened by us? They should not feel threatened by us. We should be patient and loving and gentle with them and many others. That's the type of meekness I believe God wants us to demonstrate. That is the fruit of the Spirit that we should be walking in, that I believe God wants us to demonstrate. A quick verse, Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says, what? Do to others as you would have them do to you. Don't you want people to be patient? Don't you want people to be loving and kind and gentle? If you don't understand something or if you don't know something, wouldn't you like it if somebody would teach you in a mild, gentle way, bring you along and say, how many of you are in a service? Military service. Several of you. How many would say that your drill instructors treated you with meekness? No, you didn't get that, did you? No, they didn't. And there's a reason for that. There's a purpose for that, because you know what? If you don't listen to them, you're going to die. So they're very forceful, sometimes very threatening. Did you like being treated that way? Chances are, no. Okay, well, let's think about that as we, the army of God, God's ambassadors, God's drill instructors to the lost, how should we approach them? The way that we would have liked to have been approached, right? Do to others as you would have them do to you. In the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, meekness. We already looked at this verse real quick. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, and I put meek/gentle because they both mean the same thing. Some translations are will say meek, some will say gentle. For they shall inherit the earth. There's a great blessing in being meek. How many know there's a great blessing just in walking in the fruit of the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit, as the Bible tells us. You know, we like to say that, oh, let's walk in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? It means you walk with all of those things. It said the fruit of the Spirit is. You walk in all of those things. And meekness is one of them right up there. Right? I mean, they're all equally powerful and life-changing. And if we would demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Kylie, you know why your coworker is drawn to you? Because you have the fruit of the Spirit active in your life and she sees it. Oh, that we would all have that. And you're a pretty gentle person as it is anyway. I think many would agree that Kylie walks in the fruit of the Spirit of meekness. And that's powerful. You know, there are some who think that meekness means weakness. Meekness does not mean weakness. Somebody who is meek isn't necessarily weak. You can be a very powerful person that is meek. And really what it is it's power which is controlled. Power under control. That's meekness. It's not saying that you're not capable of destroying the enemy. You're not powerful, but you know what? You are controlled. And you recognize who your enemy is. Guess what? Your enemy is not the person standing in front of you. Your enemy is the devil who is inspiring that person in front of you. And so as you go to spiritual battle, yeah, take it full force to the devil. But when you're dealing with the flesh, the soul that needs to be saved, use that spirit of meekness. Another verse, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore. This is right after this is right after Galatians 5:22-23, where he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. The very next chapter, he says this: restore such a one in a spirit of meekness or gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And pay attention to what God's word says. Every bit of it. Because, we would like to read, our eyes will see. Well, when you restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Okay, yeah, I got to be kind. But realize what it continues to say, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Here's what it's saying. If we don't treat others with gentleness and meekness, even those who have been overtaken in a fault, how many times did we see somebody, a believer, oh my gosh, can you believe what they did? We see that, and it's like, oh, well, we're spiritual. We gotta bring them back to the cross. We gotta bring them back to Jesus. Get them to repent. Well, you know what? You be careful how you do that, because if you condemn, and you know what? We have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to condemn, the brother, condemn the sister, attack them. Are you, for whatever direction they kind of misstepped and went off? But if we would exercise some meekness or some gentleness in bringing them back to the Lord, considering ourselves, it's very important. When you see somebody do something wrong, I think maybe the first thought that should go through our mind is, well, what have I done wrong today? And you know what? If we would really examine ourselves at the end of every day, we would probably be able, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, hey, you know what? You did this today. It's like, oh. Well, you know what? Maybe what your brother did wasn't quite so bad as even what you did. Or maybe if you come after your brother with harshness and with condemnation and with just a severe attitude instead of meekness, guess what the Bible says? You're going to be tempted. I don't like temptation. I have grown to hate temptation. Why? Because it comes often. Temptation comes often, doesn't it? Am I being tempted? And this is something, I always like to take the scripture and look at it from every angle. Am I being tempted because I am not treating others with meekness? I have to ask myself that question based on what this scripture says. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So am I being tempted because I have failed to be gentle with others who have failed? That's a question I have to ask myself. Well, I walked right into that one. Let me show you another scripture. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? I am meek. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I don't know if you can tell there, but I boldened the script there for where it says, I will give you rest. And where it says, I am meek and gentle, and you shall find rest for your souls. Let me ask you a question. Are the people around you, do they feel at rest? if when you walk into the room, everybody's agitated, everybody's on their edge of their seat. It's like nobody is calm. There's no rest there. Take a look and ask yourself, am I a person who is demonstrating meekness in my life? Because Jesus says he is gentle. He is meek. And because of that, you have rest for your souls. Aren't we glad that Jesus is gentle? We have rest in him because he is gentle. If he was a violent, mean master of his servants, there wouldn't be any rest in that, would there? There would be no rest in that. And so what I desire is that God would help me to be the kind of person that when I walk into the room, the people around me are at rest. They're not on edge. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be thinking about this. Tomorrow night, I'm going out to the jail tomorrow night. And when I walk into that meeting place with people who have had faults in their life, you know, back up that scripture, that, you know, they've been overtaken by a fault, I'm going to be thinking about these verses because I want to walk in there in a spirit of meekness and gentleness. And when I get there and when they come in, I want them to be at rest. You know, when I'm pretty sure most of those people in the jails, probably plenty of the rooms that they enter in that place, there's not a lot of rest. When you stand in front of the judge, there's not a lot of rest. When you stand in front of the guy who's taking you in, you know, there's not a lot of rest. When you get into the cell, there's not a lot of rest. When the guards come along, there's not a lot of rest. Well, you know what? When somebody comes in there representing Jesus Christ, I pray to God that they sense meekness and can be at rest. If all I do tomorrow night when I go out there is give them a half hour of a space of just rest, then I believe I've done well. You know, and I talk about that because that's my experience. That's something I do. But in our daily living, in our daily tasks, in the office, in the grocery store, you know, are people at rest while you're there? Because you're demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, meekness, in your life. There's one more verse I'll share, and I'll close with this. Peter's talking about, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, he's talking to women and telling them how they should dress and all of this stuff, and he's talking about how they adorn themselves. And he's talking about inward adornment. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 says, but let it be hidden, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek, gentle, and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Why should we demonstrate the spirit of meekness and gentleness? And think about this, wherever you go, whatever you're doing. Why should we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit called meekness and gentleness? Because that's what God is looking for. He said, he's telling the ladies and the men alike, you know, matter of fact, he's talking to ladies, and I love it how, you know, the Bible, a lot of times when it says man, people say, well, he's not talking to women there. He's talking about men. Well, if you read this portion of Scripture in context, you see he's talking specifically to women. But he says, let it be the hidden man of the heart. And so really, he's talking to every single one of us. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meekness and a gentle, quiet spirit. Why? Because there's great value in that. God looks at that and he says, wow, that is very priceless. It says it is in the sight of God, in God's eyes, that is worth great price. I love it when I get around a group of people that are just at ease. They're gentle. Especially, you know what, when the world, is the world full of chaos? Yeah. It is crazy. And stuff happens. You know, in the workplace, there are times when stuff would happen, and there's this one guy that he was always so calm, and he knew exactly what to do, and the situation didn't overwhelm him. And I looked, and I'm like, wow, I wish I could be like that. But most times when something really happens, you know, everybody all of a sudden goes into panic mode, and we get all crazy and yelling and screaming and running all over. And it's like, you know what? If we would just walk in the spirit of gentleness and take a step back and say, you know what? It's all good. At the end of the day, we're all going to get there. God is on the throne. God is in control. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever, how chaotic it may be, well, it's not going the way I think it should go. Relax. Exercise the fruit of the Spirit. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? I hope so. If you are, exercise the fruit of the Spirit called meekness and gentleness. Everybody take a deep breath. Isn't that nice? Stand with me. By the way, I'd just like to bless our visitors this morning. I'm so glad that you came. And I trust that God has spoken to your heart today, that you sense His presence during our worship, and that His word, you know, has spoken something real to you today. My desire is that whenever I come in here, that I grow in Him. That I just have a greater sense of His presence in my life, and that He just gives me a deeper revelation than what I had before. Doesn't matter how many times I enter this building. That's you know, God, this is the place where we come to worship and to pray and gather together. And so bless you all, you know, if this is your first time here, if this is, you know, you've only been here a few times, or if you haven't been here in a while. We're so glad that you came, and I just trust that God is doing something powerful for you today. And for all of us, if you've been here faithful and committed to every service, God bless you too, you know. God wants to do something powerful for all of us. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, God, that you lay it out there for us. You show us. You tell us to walk in the Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And then you show us specifically what it is to walk in the Spirit. And you tell us the fruit of the Spirit is love and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness and self-control. You say there's no law against those things. And so, God, I pray for everyone in this place today, Lord, that we will walk in the Spirit, and that the fruit of the Spirit would be manifest in our lives. Because we know, God, that if we do not have these fruits of the Spirit, if we don't have any fruit, we will be chopped off and thrown into the fire. And so, Father, let these fruits be manifest in a powerful, active, very real way. Lord, we want to represent you the way that you want to be represented. And so, God, I pray that no one would ever feel threatened because we say we're a believer in Jesus Christ. But rather, they would see the fruit of meekness and gentleness be demonstrated in our lives, in our walk, in our talk. Especially, Lord, when we're dealing with those who have faltered. So, Lord, bless your people this morning with a spirit of meekness, that, God, we could be those who would show a loving and kind, patient and gentle attitude toward others as we submit ourselves to you. Bless each one today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and just bless him. Be kind to him. Show him some meekness this morning.